staying under the protective altar of Jesus. Next on The Dwelling Place.
See, we want to go out in our own strength and our own sacrifice and write things and do what you know we think is right. The Lord say, no, just stay here under the altar, under my sacrifice. Stay under the blood of Jesus. Stay in my presence. Don't rush out full of anxiety and worry and fear. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. He says, rest here a little while. Are you at rest? Are you staying under the altar? Don't run out in your own strength. I'll go do it. I'll sacrifice. Your sacrifice doesn't count. His sacrifice is where you can rest.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by your friends at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We're in the midst of a fascinating look at the last book in the Bible, Revelation. What will occur when the vision given to John comes to fruition will be history's last chapter, and the facts surrounding the tribulation, the Antichrist, and Armageddon are frightening to behold. However, as believers, we're not going to have to suffer the consequences. Exactly who the Antichrist will be and from where he will emerge has been debated for centuries, and this will probably continue to be a topic of speculation. Today on The Dwelling Place, we'll bring you the conclusion of a message Pastor Al began yesterday, based on Revelation chapter 6. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Verse 14, it says, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the commanders, the military, the mighty men, every slave, every poor person, every free man hid themselves in the caves in Cheyenne Mountain, amen, in Pikes Peak, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him, amen, who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the who? The Lamb. He's talking about Revelation chapter 19 here. This is a synopsis of what will come, a summary of what will come. And then, of course, throughout, as we go through Revelation, the book of Revelation, we get some more details leading up to the return of Christ to the earth. He says, for the great day of wrath, the great, great day of his wrath has come. And who is all that in the bag of chips? Who is able to stand? Hiding from the very face of him, the face of God who sits on the throne, and the wrath of the Lamb. He came first as a sacrificial lamb, the second time to strike the nations with a rod of iron, Revelation chapter 19. This disruption in our solar system was prophesied by Jesus. I believe he was speaking about this very thing when he said in Luke chapter 21, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And on the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. So I believe the Lord is speaking about times even now, but especially toward the end, before he returns, that the powers of heaven will be shaken. Amen. And people will try to hide, but it'll be no place to hide, no place to run. There'll be no foundation for mankind. The only foundation that will not be shaken is that which is of Christ. We read on, those of us who have this sure foundation, what should our response be? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28, I believe, and 29, says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. We see that these things are going to be shaken. We should be people of grace. Amen. Not judging other people, but people of grace. And I pray that when people come here, no matter who they are, you know, homosexual, heterosexual, rich, poor, doesn't matter who you are, that they feel like this is a grace place. Not to accommodate your sin, but to speak the truth in love. Amen. He said, let us have grace by which we may serve God and acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God, amen, is a consuming fire. a consuming fire. God is not a plaything, but he's a consuming fire. There'll be no excuses that will be able to withstand that fire. You can't blame your spouse or the way you were raised or anybody else. He will consume our excuses and get right to the heart of the matter that we are sinners in need of a Savior. He's a consuming fire, not something to be played with. Amen. The seventh seal, as I said, will be broken in chapter 8, but here we conclude the six seals that the Lamb of God will break on the scroll that was in the right hand of God, revealing in a synopsis the things that are coming during the tribulation period, I might add. Amen. During the tribulation period. 7 years of tribulation. What about the application of this text? I thought, wow, Lord, where's the application here? I mean, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. But there is application here. Related to the first four seals, what I want to draw your attention to. Because the creature, one of the four living creatures said in each instance in the first four seals, come and see. And they were saying to John, come and see the dreadful things that are coming upon the earth. Yes, the dreadful things. And we all focus on the dreadful things that will be coming upon the earth during this tribulation period. But also come and see what Jesus has delivered you from. That ought to be the perspective of believers. Come and see what the Lord has delivered us from. And he has delivered us from the agenda of the devil. Because where does the agenda of the devil end up? We're reading about it here in the book of Revelation. That the sin that people thought was going to bring them liberty and freedom has only brought them bondage and death. And will culminate in those 7 years of great tribulation on the face of the earth. The devil's agenda is to conquer your life, to destroy your life. In fact, in verse 2, the latter part, it says that he will come, this rider on that white horse of deception, that he will come conquering and to conquer. He wants to destroy your life. And Jesus told us this much in John 10:10, for the thief has come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil has come to rob the earth. And in the end, he is going to succeed to a certain point, to rob them of three things found in not the first seal, but in the next three seals. And again, the total four seals there in the beginning of these seven seals. But there are three things that he came to rob us of, beginning with that second seal. The first thing is peace. Peace. Has the devil robbed you of your peace? Has he robbed you of the peace that Christ died to give you? You see, the scripture tells us that, you know, peace will be taken from the earth in the tribulation period. And again, it just matches what the devil is trying to do even today, trying to rob people of their peace, filling their hearts with anxiety and turmoil and all. But here's the thing, is that the devil cannot take away from us what Jesus has freely given to us. Amen? And sometimes we willingly surrender to the enemy what the Lord has freely given to us. Amen. Scripture tells us in John, Jesus said, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know why your heart's troubled? It's because we're receiving peace according to the world and not according to Jesus. And the peace that he gives to us is according to what he has done, not what we can do. And therefore he says, do not be afraid. Why not be afraid, man? I got all this stuff I got to do. That's what you can do. Let me rest in what I've already done. My peace I give to you. Amen? Not the peace that the world, according to the world, but the peace according to the cross. Amen? So the devil cannot take from you what the Lord has given to you, but the enemy eventually in the world is going to rob the world of any semblance of peace during the great tribulation. But the peace Christ has given to us belongs to us forever. The second thing that the devil has come to do, the thief, the steal, the kill, to destroy, is to rob us and to rob the world of abundant life in Christ. The reason I say that is because of the third seal. The third seal says that the world during the tribulation period will be impoverished. Famine gripping the entire world. A whole day's wage, your earnings going to buy a morsel of bread to have one meal for your family and all. It's going to be a time of great poverty, an impoverished condition on the face of the earth during the tribulation period. But until that time, and we know that's the devil's agenda, to destroy, to take away any life, any joy that we might have, to not allow us to enjoy an abundant life through faith in Jesus Christ. The devil wants us now even to have an impoverished, corpse-like, amen, faith. What is a corpse-like faith? You know, that rider on the pale horse, you know, corpse-like. What is a corpse-like faith? It is a form of godliness denying the very power thereof. A form of godliness. I've got my form, but I won't let the word of God transform me. So I'm just getting information, but no transformation in my life. Are you allowing the word of God to transform you?
Pastor Al has more to share about the tribulation in Revelation 6 in just a few moments. But first, I want to thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. And we would ask you to pray for this radio ministry as we seek to reach the world with the gospel. And to do that, we could use your help. Would you pray about partnering with us financially? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. This podcast's purpose is to encourage you and to have conversations about issues inside and outside of the church in a more relaxed and uncuffed manner. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. Now to wrap up the week and our look at Revelation 6, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The devil will allow you to settle for a form of godliness so that you can live, have, and possess an impoverished faith, a faith that is spiritually given over to scarcity, settling for the crumbs rather than for God's goodness, settling for, you know, less than what God wants us to have. And a lot of believers do that. We've all been guilty of it at certain times in our life. Maybe there are some here today. You're just settling. God doesn't want you to settle. He wants you to prosper in him. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, despite what the enemy is trying to lie to you about or say to you, he says here that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That word abundantly is interesting, as we'll see here in a moment. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. God wants us to work in us exceedingly abundantly, and many times we limit God. The Bible says we limit him by our affections. And the devil wants your affections to take over so that you're limited and so that you live a spiritual life of scarcity rather than prosperity. And I'm not talking about Cadillacs and cars and fat bank accounts. I'm talking about the abundant life Jesus came to give us. He's able to do above and beyond, exceedingly above and beyond, abundantly above and beyond. That word abundantly literally means, or the Greek word for abundantly means to pour out beyond measure. Listen to this, to overflow. Satan wants the world impoverished spiritually and physically. He wants to destroy mankind. He wants to destroy your family. God wants you to live in the overflow. Amen. The overflow of his abundance. He said, I know you know that I'm good, but you don't know how good I am. If you would simply trust me. Now, here's the deal. Number one, he's able to work according to the power that works in us. And that's key. He's not going to do it your way. He's going to do it above and beyond because his ways are higher than our ways. Amen? His ways are higher than our ways. So the devil says, well, if God doesn't do it your way, God doesn't care for you, and so you need to go out and get it yourself. That's a lie from the enemy. Let God work according to his power in your life. Because you can come up with your bucket list. Amen. We got our bucket list, don't we? Amen. And we get our little bucket list. You know what? If God, sometimes God will come along and he'll scratch stuff off your bucket list. Amen. But if we're trusting God that his ways are above my ways as far as the heavens are above the earth, I'll be all right with that. Because many times God will scratch something off and add something that's exceedingly abundantly better than what you had on the list. Trusting in him. Let him work according to the power of his Holy Spirit in your life. Not based on our understanding, for his ways are above our ways. Commit your way unto the Lord, the Bible says. Commit your way unto the Lord, and he will direct your steps. Amen? Always remember that. Lord, I like to do this, you know. But commit your way to the Lord, and God will bless you. He'll do, if you let him lead you, he'll lead you into something far better than what you had planned. Far better. But we got to trust him. Listen, abundance in the believer's life is derived from utter dependence upon God. Not on your bucket list, not on what you think is best, but abundance. You want to live in the exceedingly abundant? You want to live in the overflow of God's goodness? Then it begins with complete and utter dependence upon God. So if he scratches something off your bucket list, say, Lord, that's okay, because I put my trust in you. What we do is we just go ahead and try to do it anyway, amen? And then get all jacked up and then blame God. Say, God, you don't care about me. He said, well, you weren't listening to me. Amen? Abundance is derived from utter dependence upon God rather than ourselves or other people. Amen. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and horses, things that men make, the things that men are able to do, power of flesh, but we will trust in God's name. Now, lastly, the enemy has come to rob us of peace. We see they robbed the world of peace during the tribulation period, of abundant life, robbed the world of abundant life. There is famine and scarcity worldwide. And lastly, he has come to rob us of hope. Comes to the fourth seal. The fourth seal has to do with death. Death has robbed so many people of hope. We've attended funerals and the casket is there, and we look there and say, well, you know, that's all she wrote. It ends right there. No, it doesn't. Amen? It doesn't end there, especially not in Christ. But without Christ, there is no hope beyond that point. The devil wants death to have the final word, but not in Jesus Christ. Amen? Not so in the Lord. But apart from him, death does have the final word. Paul disagrees with that statement that death has the final word for the believer because it does not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then Paul, you know, he gets so bold, he addresses death. Oh, death. Oh, death. Where is your sting, and oh, grave, oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We sit here on Sunday morning and, you know, it's kind of, it's a wonderful sentiment, Al. That's a great scripture and all of that. But when you stand at the side of a person who has terminal cancer, those words come alive. The other day, I was visiting a member of our fellowship that is some time ago diagnosed with cancer. The doctors have done all they can do, so they're sending her home for hospice. The doctors have done all they can do, but they don't know what God can do. And I've always said doctors are practicing, and I love physicians. I mean, God bless them for their medical knowledge. But they know, that's why they call their practice, because they're practicing. But God knows what he's doing, even in the face of death. The Lord laid it upon my heart to read the scripture to her that I'm going to read to you right now. It's Psalm 46. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations rage and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. So when we talk about death in the light of the fact that Christ is our refuge, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Amen. Be still and know that indeed he is God. Yes, we sorrow when we lose loved ones. We pray and then we see them pass and we sorrow. But the Bible says we sorrow, Paul says, but not as those who have what? No hope. The devil will use death and famine and hunger, violence to rob people of peace, of hope. But in Christ, we have an everlasting hope. Amen. In conclusion to this message, this look, synoptic look, if you will, at the end times, we live in a time in our nation where people don't, or say the least, less than thankful. In fact, we're living in a time of growing ingratitude. People are not thankful for things, amen. Used to be you're thankful, amen, for things like a full tank of gas. Some of you remember those days, amen. You're thankful to have clothes on and a new pair of shoes, amen. Thankful that your folks could feed you and all of that. But now people have this sort of entitlement mentality, and there's very little thanksgiving, gratitude, and a lot of ingratitude in our nation. But it shouldn't not be that way with us as Christians. Well, what does that have to do with Revelation, Pastor Al? Well, by going through the book of Revelation, we're reminded of what is coming upon the earth, and we, of all people, should be thankful that we've been delivered through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So sometimes people will say, I have nothing to be thankful for. If you're in Christ, you ought to be shouting, amen, that he has delivered you from the things that are to come upon the face of the earth. To be grateful. The four living creatures said, come and see, but I would say to you, come taste and see. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, say, Pastor, I haven't given my life to Christ. Hey, you can come taste and see. Nobody can tell you about it. They can tell you about it, but you've got to taste for yourself. Taste and see, as the psalmist says, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or the woman who put their trust in him. Amen.
You've been listening to The Dwelling Place with our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we close things out today, we want to remind you that you can hear today's message at our website, cwccs.org. We can also supply you with a CD copy when you call 844-221-3363. That's 844-221-3363. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the Skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the Enable button. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. At The Dwelling Place, we pray that your walk with Jesus Christ has been strengthened by these messages. And we're grateful to those who choose to partner with us to see this ministry continue and even expand. To make a secure donation, drop by cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write to us at Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, visit us at Calvary Worship Center. We'd love to welcome you this weekend. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website, and we hope to see you soon. This has been The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a presentation of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.